Hello, everyone, and welcome to we have a special excuse me, welcome to the First and Gold podcast. We have a special segment today. We're going to talk about we're going to go into in depth about the upcoming women's volleyball tournament. Obviously, we know our Lady Boilers are they have a 4 seed, finished the season with a 25-6 record with 16 wins in the Big Ten. Ben and I were talking prior to this and thought, we wanted to get someone a little bit more seasoned to kind of go more into the weeds about not just what the expectations are for Purdue volleyball, but also just from an overall picture of the national landscape of the tournament. So with that in mind, reached out to our friend Nate Torvik. Nate Torvik, if you're familiar with the indie volleyball scene, Nate's been a coach for 16 years in the high school and club volleyball, and then also he played in high school, and then he's been playing, well, once upon a time was playing in club and rec leagues, but now just more so doing coaching and then training with some of the younger talent. So Nate, welcome.
Yo, what up? Glad
What
to be
up?
here.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you taking time to go over volleyball with us. So I'm just gonna get right into it. I think either we're gonna talk about let's start with Purdue first.
Yeah.
So obviously, yeah, they're a 4 seed. They're actually on the same side of the bracket with Louisville, who is a 1 seed. And actually, the Louisville will actually be staying at home provided they make a deep run into the tournament, because the Final Four of the national championship will be played in at the Yum Center in Louisville. I'm sure that's giving everyone right now great PTSD from basketball, but
Every time. It works every time. Yeah.
Every time. But first off, man, just wanted to get your thoughts on what you've seen from the ladies this year, and kind of like what you like and what you what kind of your likes and dislikes. Like what has been your thoughts on this team this season?
Yeah, and it's a interesting it's an interesting team, right? So they've got a former, I don't remember if Chloe was Gatorade Player of the Year. But I'm pretty sure she was. Played at McCutcheon over there in Lafayette in high school, and was an absolute powerhouse. Chloe Chicoine in high school for club. She played at Circle City. The other thing that it's interesting about watching these girls play and stuff like that. All right, I watched Raven Colvin play when she was 14, and I just watched her kind of grow up in the club system. I watched Chloe play her entire high school career. Saw Eva play up north for a couple of years. So it's actually interesting for me too to watch some of these teams and Purdue and some of these girls play that I'm like, oh yeah, no, I remember when you didn't know how to jump or play volleyball at all. Right. So, so it's kind of interesting, we've got obviously our two big outsides in Chloe and Eva, and they really carry the load for this team in more ways than one. I mean, offensively, defensively. I mean, they're both beasts, front row and back row. And it's just, I think they're also second and third, which works because they're both playing six rotation on the team and digs, as well as offensively. But they carry such a big load for us offensively. We're kind of, I mean, we're really, I don't want to say lopsided when it comes to that. But I mean, out of 1500 kills that we have as a team, we're looking at about 900, 850 coming from those two players. So, we're really reliant on those girls, and they're great. I mean, they're amazing. I mean, when you talk about likes, how can you not like what Eva Hudson does? Right, and what Chloe's able to do. I mean, Chloe's, shorter than I am. She's 5'10", I think. She's probably like 5'6", but they list her at 5'10". That girl's got an 80-inch vertical,
Good grief.
right? But so what she's able to do as what would be considered in most of at least in the Big Ten as an undersized outside, she's just amazing. And you've got Raven Colvin in the middle, who similar, like she's not a 6'4", 6'5", whatever middle. She does a lot. I think she's about 6'1". I don't have that up, but she does a lot with what she has. She just elevates, and she has worked really, really hard to get a lot better in her time at Purdue. And one of, I mean, the kind of the other piece that I really like for us is Taylor Anderson, who's our setter. Between from last year to this year, she has really, really come a long way. Really kind of gotten her feet under her, able to distribute the ball, work well with the offense, kind of connect a lot more with our hitters, playing better defense. She came into Purdue, and somebody could probably fact check me on this one, but I believe she was the top setting recruit in her class when she came into Purdue. So as a freshman, there's kind of a level of expectation of like, oh, this girl is the best setter in the country, allegedly, right? That's what
Yeah.
these rankings are for. And so we kind of, I think there was a bit added pressure onto her last year. We've got Eva, we've got Chloe, we've got Raven. Offensively, we've got this, you know, this top setting recruit. Everything's just going to click. And I think we made a lot of progress this year with her. And I definitely think she's grown a bit. And she, you know, she's been able to really distribute the ball a lot more with these pieces that we have. You know, when it comes to what our weaknesses are, frankly, I think it's kind of just the flip side of that. We're so reliant on Chloe and Eva. And Raven's up there, right? She's not that far behind Chloe when it comes to you know, sheer volume of kills. But she's frankly got about half the attempts that Chloe does. So I mean, she's just really effective out of the middle. So you know, but we are just very reliant. I mean, when you look at a team like Nebraska, I'm pretty sure you can go up and down the lineup on Nebraska, and they're probably one of the most balanced teams, if not the most balanced team in the country. And you know, they're playing, you know, Wisconsin, very similar. If we're talking Big Ten, Penn State, very similar. You know, they're a little bit more balanced, and that ends up winning some matches because everybody knows when it comes to tournament time, everybody knows what your strengths are. It's really about are you able to maximize your strengths and shore up your weaknesses? And that's something, you know, that's something that teams will go after, and that's something that Purdue hasn't really shown the ability to do this season, right? Our good players are great. Everybody else, you know, is working really hard. I mean, Lizzie Carr has had some really good matches of late. I think Kella Woolard has played better of late. Lourdes Myers has done a great job as this you know, as the quote unquote second middle, and they're playing better. But there's still this kind of gap, I think, of that workload that is being carried, and I think there's just a larger gap with this group than there is with some of the other teams that we're going to run up against, you know, and defensively, like I love Allie Hornung, and she's another one. I've literally watched her play. I watched her sisters play. I coached against her and her sisters. They're from Providence, you know, literally. So it's just another Indiana volleyball family, and you know, she's really come into her own a bit this year in the libero jersey, but I think there's a difference between her and the girl from oh, how am I possibly blanking on Lexi Rodriguez's name? There we go. In Nebraska, like Lexi Rodriguez is absolutely incredible. The girl, I think it's Ella Scott in at Louisville, absolutely amazing.
Yes, Wisconsin's
Liberos.
got a Wisconsin. Who's her? Because her girl's from she's from Carmel, isn't she?
Yeah, Lola Schumacher, also a stud, right? So like. So I think Allie's done a really nice job coming in. But I think, you know, you've got some of these other programs that, you know, Emma Halter at Texas, also an Indianapolis kid. She went to Rock College. She's awesome. And you know, so you've got some of these kind of otherworldly liberos back there for some of these teams. And while I think Allie does a really good job, I just don't necessarily put her in that tier. So there's a little bit of a gap and a weakness for at that spot for us too.
Okay, so let's kind of shift now to the tournament. Obviously, you know, the well, depending on when you're listening to this, the ladies open up the tournament. Actually, their first two rounds are possibly, like, they're going to be in West Lafayette. So if they win on Thursday, they play 6:30 against Western Michigan. If they win, then they would play again on, I believe it's what, Saturday.
I know they're back to back. They'll
Oh,
play
it's back to
Thursday,
back.
Friday.
Okay,
Yep, Thursday,
apologies. Yep,
Friday.
Thursday, Friday. So they win on Thursday and they'll play on Friday at 6, either against the winner of either BYU or your Loyola Chicago. I guess kind of what are your thoughts in terms of where they're at in the bracket and kind of their outlook in terms of being able to make a run?
Yeah, I mean, well, even for starters, like that Western Michigan team is gonna be a problem. You know, they actually upset Auburn last year, in the first round of the tournament. And I think it's kind of mean that the NCAA did this to Purdue at home, and it's putting Western Michigan up there and BYU, who is a perennial powerhouse also. I mean, those are two tough matches to start your tournament run with. I of course it's the tournament, right? Well, if you don't want to play those teams, maybe do a little bit better throughout the season so you don't end up with a four seed. But yeah, I mean, like, they're gonna, I think it'll be a little bit tough sledding against Western Michigan here on Thursday, to get to what I assume would be that BYU match. It's a tough road. And then the thing about the NCAA tournament on the volleyball side, everybody loves March Madness. Everybody loves the Cinderella stories and stuff like that on the basketball side. And oh, you're not supposed to pick a certain number of one seeds and whatever, and the 5-12
I was
upset
saying,
and
always pick a couple five
all that
twelves, a couple,
nonsense.
a couple 13 4s.
Nah, yeah, that doesn't happen here. The NCAA volleyball tournament is
It's like it's chalk most of the
they're
time.
just, yeah, it's like they're just some of these great teams are just great. There just is a level that people struggle to get through. And so, I mean, I'm looking at my picks that I made earlier today, and I've got all four one seeds in my final four. I just don't know how you pick against them, right? So even if Purdue makes it through, right, they've got a tough draw against Western Michigan, who's got a stud setter, and a couple good pieces, and that tournament experience, right, from last season. They'll get a BYU team who plays a pretty competitive, tough schedule, right? They had Arizona State, because I think they're in the big, yeah, they're in the Big 12. Right, they beat Baylor already this year. Well, Baylor's a four seed on the other side of the bracket. They beat or they had Oregon that they had to play. They've got Utah, who's a strong team, and I think Utah is a five. They beat Kansas, and I don't remember specifically, but I think Kansas is a three. But they beat Kansas at Kansas in a
I'll say we
four
have.
in four sets, right?
Oh,
So
wow.
like
Yeah,
so
that's.
right so so yeah, BYU is a five seed. Cool. Well, yeah, maybe they've got a 19-9 record, but they've got some really good wins under their belt. They've played really well, especially toward the end of the season. They've got a four-game win streak coming in, I think, to this first match against Loyola. So it's gonna be tough for us. And as far as how we match up, again, I think we match up well with a lot of these first couple round teams. But it's tough, right? If we're reliant on Eva and Chloe so much. I mean, if you go back and look at the Penn State game where we got swept, we didn't play well. We kind of got crushed across the board. Our hitting percentage was almost zero in the third set. And we just weren't able to kind of get things going against a better team that had a little bit, obviously Penn State's a top seed, but so if we get stuck in some places where we're not able to get a side out, quickly, get through a couple of problematic rotations, depending on what Dave wants to run, which at this point in the season he's not going to do anything crazy, but there's just going to be some different looks that I think that we'll see. Obviously, some teams that we haven't played at all, right? We don't play BYU because we don't see them unless it's a non-con. Obviously, we don't, we haven't played Western Michigan, haven't played Louisville. There's a lot of teams that you just don't see, and you end up having to kind of go through them. And again, that's kind of the fun of the tournament and stuff like that. And I think we've got a tough road, but we've definitely got experience to get there. To get past potentially BYU, to get to that Louisville match. I think if we are able to get past BYU, I think Louisville will handle business.
Definitely. I mean,
And
it'll
that'll
be a
be
home
us.
game for them essentially.
Yeah,
That's
and that'll be us.
kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's hard out the gate in terms of having Western Michigan and BYU. It kind of stuck out to me talking about BYU beating Kansas at Kansas because
Yeah.
that was the first team that Purdue lost to this year. They lost to them, I think, in the Jayhawk Classic, and I think Kansas swept them. They swept Purdue.
Right.
So like
Right.
if BYU went to Kansas and beat them in four, then yeah, just like you said, like if they're able, if Purdue's able to make it past Western Michigan, and then if it's BYU who's waiting on them, obviously that's not going to be any sort of walk in the park. That's definitely going to be a challenge in itself.
Yeah, 1,000%. And you know, if we're looking at making a deep run, if we want to try and get there, we know what we're going to get out of Eva and Chloe, right? We know that we're going to go to them and Raven. Like those are our top three. We rely on them for a large percentage of our kills, large percentage of our digs, and you know, a ton of passes and serve receive. And you know, looking at those things, you know, so realistically, if we want to get past any of these teams, if we want to get past BYU, if we want to even have a shot at Louisville, we're going to need a lot out of Lourdes Myers. We're going to need a lot out of Kenna Woollard. We're going to need a lot out of Lizzie Carr, and potentially, you know, Taylor Anderson is going to have to be on and killing it. I think there's just going to be a lot of pieces that have to step up. And those would be the, you know, I think if Lourdes Myers has a good game, I think that really helps us out because it helps clear out some space for Eva and Chloe. When Raven's up, right? When Raven's up, it's easy, right? Raven is a massive threat to get the ball. So she can open up some spaces for us on the pin, open us some spaces for us offensively with our setter. If Lourdes can step up and Lourdes can be a threat offensively, against some of these better teams, it's really going to open things up for Eva and Chloe, and Lizzie and Kenna and whomever else is playing in those rotations too. That will really help. But you know, it just hasn't been something that we've really been able to do.
Yeah, just it just definitely sounds I mean, you kind of alluded to it, you even mentioned a little bit earlier in terms of just you're gonna need a handful of other players to step up, like to really raise their game another notch or two, for us to really make a deep run.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and we look at it right from a historic Purdue kind of percent or you know look in. You know, we've made the Elite Eight I think once in the last 10 years, but we've made the tournament in the last every year for the last 10 years. So we've made the eight one time out of those 10 trips. We've made the Sweet 16. I want to say five other times in there, maybe four other times in there. You know, we've lost a couple first rounds. We've lost a good number of second rounds. So I think, you know, just trying to get over that, get over, you know, the quote unquote hump or whatever you might want to call it, with this group. You know, historically we've had some killer right sides too that have really helped us. You know, you think about Annie Drews in the past, and Annie Drews, obviously,
The
you know,
Olympian.
U.S. Olympic gold medalist, all that fun stuff. She's
She's
had
pretty
a
decorated.
She went to Penn, actually, in Northern Indiana. Fun fact for anybody who never paid attention to that stuff. She was a super, super awkward high school player. Like she just, you know, was tall and lanky and left-handed, and she just hadn't quite figured her body out yet. Hopefully, you know, shame on whoever missed out on that one. You know, we had Grace Cleveland here for 4 years on the right side and absolutely crushed it for us. She was part of that team that went to the Elite Eight. I mean, that was a killer group. I think that was Raven's I think that was Raven's freshman year, actually. So you know, there was a lot there was just different offense that we were able to kind of run when you've got a super offensive right side. Everybody knows that outsides are the lifeblood of a team in this era's volleyball. So statistically speaking, having Eva and Chloe is the are the two, you know, the two most important statistical pieces to have. But having those other players to help open up some of those things, those have been when Purdue has been able to make runs, get to the Sweet 16, you know, that one trip to the Elite Eight, and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm hopeful that they can get there. We'll be watching, of course, but I'm just not sure that I see it with this group.
Yeah, it kind of seems like the odds are stacked against them for sure. I think that really of all the one seeds, well, minus Pitt, because Pitt's just been an absolute monster. But I mean, yeah, just the fact that you're in the same bracket as Louisville and this whole thing, and like for Louisville, they're staying at home the whole time. It's just that's just going to be a lot to ask for. It kind of feels like the volleyball program is almost in the same spot that the men's basketball team was in terms with Painter, how it was like, yeah, they can get to the Sweet 16 and that's cool, but it's like, and then you get to the Elite Eight every now and then, but you can't, kind of get to that final step past it. And obviously, we know how that went this past year. We love sports when that happens, but it seems like
Until we don't.
right, exactly. We love it until we don't. And so it kind of seems like they're kind of in the same spot right now. So kind of just looking more than at the overall tournament, kind of who are your like, well, one, I guess I should ask you, how do you think the Big Ten as a conference is going to do? It seems that they have what they have, I think it's eight teams that are in
So it's something like that. Well, I mean, and two of them are one seeds.
Yeah, Penn
So,
State
you
and
know,
Nebraska, yeah.
so obviously by that default factor, I have two Big Ten teams in the
Yeah,
Final
going to the
Four,
Final Four, right.
just based on, my previous statement. We've got those. Well, and now with 18 teams, for in the quote unquote Big Ten, right? So we've got quite a few in here, and I would expect to see, maybe close to half of the Sweet 16, being
Big Ten.
Big Ten teams,
Yeah.
or maybe six of the 16 or something like that. I mean, when you've got Nebraska, in your conference, you're pretty confident in saying you feel like you've got a good shot at your conference winning the championship.
Right.
Penn State this year has been incredible. Amazing story for Penn State too
Oh,
this year, just
absolutely. Yeah, with
with
their
their head
coach.
coach.
Oh, yeah, man.
So hard not to root for Penn State. And in case people pay close enough attention, Taylor Trammell, who is one of the middles for Penn State, was a Purdue transfer.
That's cool.
She
That
was
name sounded
at
familiar. I knew it.
Purdue her freshman and sophomore year, I believe, and then transferred to Penn State. So she's having a pretty good year for that Penn State team, which is good to see. It's one of those, well, it'd be great if you were playing for us. No offense, Lourdes, you're doing a great job.
Right. Bless your
But
heart, but damn it.
bless your heart. But yeah, we want to. I would love to have Taylor Trammell back.
Yeah.
I think when you look at it and you look at how the bracket's laid out and you just look at how good the freaking Big Ten is every year, man. It's hard to be like, oh yeah, no, Big Ten's gonna be fine. No, I'm like, I will be again surprised if we don't see both Penn State and Nebraska
Final
in
four.
the Final Four. It's unfortunate that Wisconsin, like I think Wisconsin's got a great program. Obviously, Kelly Sheffield's been doing it for years. Muncy fella, by the way. And he's just been crushing it there for Wisconsin. And they've got some really good pieces. I think I've got Wisconsin in my eight. And I think they'll put up a fight against Nebraska. I mean, they beat them, I think they played them in, oh no, they actually lost to Nebraska twice. Never mind. And they didn't beat them. Ignore me. It's Wisconsin, Nebraska. I feel like every year for the last decade, I've seen Wisconsin and Nebraska play in the NCAA tournament
Right.
at some point.
In the same bracket. Well, in the same side too. So
They're in
like,
the same region,
right, same region, yeah.
So I mean, it's yes, but I mean, I expect the Big Ten to have another good turnout again this year, just like they always do. Adding Oregon and USC, Washington. Oregon's had a really good season. Washington had a decent season, and historically, Washington's been a super strong program. I think, for me, this is kind of a down year for them. All things considered, adding USC's really strong. Minnesota's always in there, so I just yeah, it's got to be. I don't know. It's got to be frustrating to be some of these other conferences.
Oh, gotta be. Well, Minnesota's the lowest seed, the lowest Big Ten seed in here. I think they're
Yeah,
six.
Minnesota and USC are both six seeds.
Yeah, but it's like, damn, that's the worst you have is just like a couple six seeds. Like,
Yep, that's the word. That is actually the worst that we have. And well, no,
Well, that's not true. Illinois is here. Yeah, I would
Illinois
say
is in here.
apologies.
Yeah.
Yep, Illinois is there. Apologies.
Illinois in. Illinois got a stud in Raina Terry. I think this is her senior year, might be her fifth year. I actually got to watch her play last weekend. They played against IU, at IU, and that girl's incredible. So I could actually see maybe Illinois upsetting Northern Iowa there in that first round. And then getting the absolute pleasure of playing Louisville in the second. But
Sure, that'll go well.
yeah, I've got Nebraska playing Pitt in my final.
Okay.
And I just don't see a way that Pitt loses.
Man,
Yeah, so
I'm curious. I like just from an overall like tournament perspective, I think the matchup I want to see, and obviously because we talked about it a bit, like we talked about it before we start recording, is Pitt and SMU, because SMU is the only team that's beaten Pitt. And they beat
correct.
them in five, and so it's like, yeah, we can just go ahead and run that back in the Elite Eight to to see who gets to the Final Four. And I know that Pitt this year came out the blocks like hot as hell. Like they weren't just beating teams; they were sweeping everyone. Like it didn't matter if you were ranked, you were unranked. It was like, nope, all you're getting is three sets, and like we're out of here. Like they were doing it as
Yeah.
if, like they had plans like at a set time that they had to be to that they had to be at. So yeah, I think it's hard to bet against Pitt. I think that Pitt could run into probably. I kind of feel like their two hardest matches, and well. The two hardest matches I feel like could be Pitt versus like when they if they get to SMU, and then I actually think in the Final Four against Louisville, just because of the fact that it's Louisville and they're at home, like just in terms of like playing in that type of environment. Obviously, if they were to get past there, and then whoever comes out from the other side, that's not going to be any like walk in the park. But I just feel like for Pitt, those could be two very very like gut check matches for them.
Well, and it'll be the third if Pitt and Louisville meet in the semis there, it'll be the third time that they played this year. Pitt beat them both times, once in five and once in four. So that's obviously it's hard to beat a team twice in the same season.
It's
It's
hard to beat him three times.
really hard to beat them three times in the same season. But the best teams can do it, right? And to your point about SMU, like SMU's got a pretty tough road to try and get through. They got to get through Kentucky in the Sweet 16 that I've got. And Kentucky is also super athletic, really well coached. Craig Skinner down there does a great job, just another Muncie kid. So, we've got just more Indiana ties to some of these amazing programs too. But yeah, I think SMU will have I have Kentucky beating SMU in the 16 to get there.
Wow.
Just because, that's for me when you get to the Sweet 16, all of those teams
They're good.
are awesome.
Right.
So like you're gonna get a couple quote unquote upsets that aren't really upsets. They're super slim margins sometimes and stuff like that. But again, to your point, I could also see Pitt just come in and beating the brakes off of everybody. Right? Like they, just absolutely crushing. I've got one of my girls, Peyton Isley, plays at Morehead State. She's a libero. It's her senior year. They qualified for the first time in her career.
And they get pit.
Awesome. And it's like, yeah, and then you get to go to Pittsburgh. And like, love you, but I'm gonna watch from home and I hope that you don't get hurt. Like, just please don't get hurt. But I think, it's really exciting. You get some of these teams, Morehead State, Delaware State. Last year I had one of my players at Wofford. They made it for the first time in their program's history. You get New Hampshire. I've got a player at New Hampshire right now, and they won their conference tournament, and they weren't expected to. So that was really cool for them. You get some of these teams that come in on a high, doing something that they've never done before, and they've got nothing to lose. Last year my Wofford ran into Kentucky in the first round, and I was like, well, that was fun.
It was
Like, it
fun,
was
right?
great.
It
It was
was
cool. I went to Rupp Arena. I'd never been to Rupp Arena before. That was neat. And then I went home.
Yeah.
Right. So like, I think I, Pitt's obviously a stud team. I wish Peyton and her Morehead State teammates all the best of luck. And in that one, I think that's going to be awesome. And it'll just be fun. But it'll be fun for me to watch safely in my own home, where nobody can get hurt.
Right. All right. Well, so you have Pitt winning the whole thing?
I got Pitt winning the whole thing. I got Pitt, Nebraska in the final. Pitt winning the whole thing. Pitt, Louisville, Penn State, Nebraska in my four.
If there's a team that can make a run, who do you think it could be and why?
There's some interesting teams that are in the tournament this year. Dayton is an interesting team to me, just kind of for fun. I don't think they're going to go crazy. They're 29-2, though. They don't play a super hard schedule, but they've got some tournament experience. I think Alexia Almodovar there is a senior. She's a Noblesville kid. They've got a little bit of tournament experience that kind of, just gives you a little bit of an edge sometimes. And I was talking about Illinois. I mean, when you've got a dominant player like Raina Terry is at Illinois, they can carry you for a little bit. I mean, Kemba Walker at UConn, right? Like you get a couple of players maybe that are super hot, and can really like carry a team and can just kind of go beast mode on somebody. I think it's going to be interesting. There's the Hawaii team, is actually pretty good. They beat SMU early in the season. It might have been like the first weekend of the season. I think they are a little unbalanced as far as that thing. But again, you get a player who's hot and goes Super Saiyan for any Dragon Ball Z fans out there.
Yes, fair.
Right. And goes after that. Like you could kind of get some stuff done in the tournament. Last one we'll throw another Big Ten team out there, in Washington. Washington's got a win over Oregon. And they've got a win over Minnesota this season. Again, they've got a lot of experience in that environment. Washington is a historically strong program. We're glad to have them in the Big Ten. So I think that team, I mean, they're unseeded, right? They're not even seeded in
Right.
that top eight or whatever of the brackets or top seven. Yeah, top eight. I think that's an inter they're another interesting look. Especially if we're going for kind of like dark horse teams that might ruin somebody's opening weekend or a
Right.
couple opening weekends. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, appreciate it, Nate. I mean, anything else you want to plug for yourself? I know recently you just switched over to more so from coaching into training. Didn't know if you wanted to kind of shed a bit more light about that.
Oh yeah. I mean, I retired is a loose term because we all know that I can't stay away from it, but
You absolutely cannot.
I'm taking some time off from coaching club this year. We're doing a training environment called Hoosier Nets Volleyball up in Fishers. That's going to be really fun, and it's going to be something just a different way to kind of give back and still be involved. I also might be We'll see how the we'll see how the Fishers coaching search goes, but I took a stab at the Fishers varsity job for the first time ever. Just why not? It's there. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, no, it's fun. Thanks for having me on. Look forward to more opportunities. Purdue volleyball is something that we've been around for obviously a long time. My wife played club at Purdue. Shout out Angie Torvik. Sorry, and Zancanaro. We can go Zancanaro. She was Zancanaro when she was playing club at Purdue. She had lots of friends that were on the Purdue volleyball team, and there were some great players back then. And we've been around the Purdue program for a long time and paying attention, and obviously staying involved in volleyball. The whole time we still watch matches. We don't go to as many matches as we should, for sure. But I think it's always good to watch Purdue be successful at volleyball, and I think Dave Schoendel and that staff does a really good job to maintain. I think it's a hard game. It's really hard to win at this level anyway. And so one of these years, I think you can just kind of crack the code a little bit for what specifically the team needs. Honestly, I think Taylor Anderson was a great get for the program. Historically, he's kind of trained some pins to become good setters. So I think recruiting a good setter is actually really important. And I think that's I think he and his staff did a really good job with that this year. So, or sorry, last year. But I think, trying to get a couple more pieces to help them kind of get over the hump. But it's, yeah, they're fun to watch. So looking forward to the tournament and seeing what Purdue and the rest of the Big Ten can do, and maybe catching up with a recap after.
Yes, sir. Yeah, no, we're definitely gonna have you back on afterwards just to talk about kind of how the tournament goes, not just for Purdue, but maybe from an overall standpoint. And then just probably get into probably talk about just the overall state of the Purdue program. So again, appreciate you hopping on with us, man. Appreciate that for
Absolutely,
sure.
man. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So
Yep, go Boilers.
yes, sir. Boiler up.
Boiler up.